You're going to want to open up to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to be in verse 39. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start right there in verse 39. You're also going to want to pull out your outlines that say somewhere across the top of them, the Judean First-Timer Moms Club, as part of our series on Stranger Things. I finished watching Stranger Things. Oh my. Oh my. Terrifying TV show, I got to admit. An expression, I believe, of what God has placed in our hearts, that there is something out there, and somewhere instinctually we are terrified, both terrified and curious about it, that gets played out constantly in science fiction, in Hollywood, and whatnot. I want to show you this morning the author of literally one of the most bizarre stories in all the Bible. And you're probably so used to it, you don't even think of it that way. You just think, oh, that's nice. That's a sweet story. I want you to fully embrace the wackoness of what you are about to experience. Starting right there in the book of Luke, chapter 1. It's up on the screen, or you can use the Bible that you've got in your lap. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is all a response to a previous passage. I have to go back to that previous passage in order to kind of give us a little bit of context. Remember, there was an extraordinary, this is number one, letter A on your outline, by the way. There was an extraordinary angelic announcement from Gabriel to Mary that she would be a mother. This was an incredibly strange thing, but it brought both excitement and joy, obviously. Excitement and confusion. Obviously, the confusion is easy to understand, isn't it? Mary was a pregnant, engaged virgin. Now, those words just don't go together, right? We live in a culture where getting pregnant before you get married or having a baby when you're not married is not such a dramatic scandal socially, like in our culture. It's still not what God has in mind. So even if you are the product of that, or you are in that right now, this very minute, God has got great plans in mind. But I want you to see how God completely blows the doors off of any social convention that exists. And He makes this girl, young girl, probably, I know Pastor Matt mentioned it last week, probably 12 or 13 years old. And He takes this virgin, young girl who's engaged, and places inside of her, by the Holy Spirit, the baby, Jesus Christ. Her confusion was clear. It was a strangely scandalous impossibility. But the excitement is also pretty easy to understand. I don't know if you've been around very many teenagers in your life, but they adjust to their circumstances fairly quickly. At first, the thing that seems like a tragedy, the next moment can be a joy, and then back to joy. Like, it's all over the place, isn't it? They're trying to figure out where that happy middle is. No doubt Mary was experiencing these kinds of things. In the midst of that announcement from Gabriel to Mary, let her see, another impossibility was given to her. It's revealed about her much older, 6 months pregnant, formerly barren. In other words, she had lived her life into an old age relative, Elizabeth. Elizabeth! The barren woman is pregnant. This is one of the creepier slides I've ever put up, by the way. For Mary, despite outward appearances and inward confusion, she realizes when the angel tells her this, I'm not alone. I'm not in this alone. I mean, here is a single mother in a culture that rejects single mothers. In a culture, the Jewish culture specifically, that would kill a woman for getting pregnant outside of wedlock. And just as soon as she hears that news from Gabriel, what do the verses say? It says she went in haste to see Elizabeth. She connects with, I am not alone, and the angel didn't just tell me that for no reason. The angel didn't just announce that to me and you know, hey, FYI, this is going on over there. Oh, that's nice. And she just stays home. No, she knew that when the angel told her that, it was not only cause for excitement, it would not only provide her support in the midst of this scandal. There was another miracle at work, another new mother, and she was not too far away. What do we have here? We got it. Yes, there it is. The Judean First Time Moms Club. Very odd couple right there of moms. What we have is her running down to Judea. Now let's kind of set this up a little bit. Back page, number 2, letter A. The angelic revelation of Elizabeth's pregnancy is cause for Mary to immediately depart. Mary's urgency is in obedience. Knowing that Gabriel revealed that connection between Mary and Elizabeth's pregnancies, but what is it? It's like Gabriel gave her a little Easter egg. You know, I believe that God continues to do this. I believe that God continues to speak to us. He speaks to us in Scripture. He speaks to us through our worship times. He speaks to us in the things even that we say to each other. He speaks to us the more and more we read, the more and more we understand of the Spirit of God. It says that the Spirit of God can actually instruct us moment to moment in consistency with God's character. That instruction is never in opposition to Scripture. Don't think I've flown off the handle or anything wacky. What I'm talking about, though, is that moment by moment listening to the Spirit of God. I bet that God has been speaking to you. Are you anything like me sometimes when God speaks? I'm not real interested in listening. I'm not real interested in paying attention. I know the right thing to do. God is pressing it on my heart. But I kind of take this attitude. You know, should I do it now? Or should I just do it later? I mean, there's lots of time, right? These verses really beg for us how we respond to God. The difference between Zechariah and Mary is simple. Elizabeth speaks to it at the very end. Blessed is she who believed, who trusted, who had faith. Blessed, happy, joyful are you because you bear a baby that is the fulfillment of God's promise. I believe that God has promises that He desires to fulfill in the midst of our lives. Ephesians 2:10, that God has prepared good works for us beforehand that we might experience them simply by walking in the Spirit of God. Simply by listening and responding to His voice. How do you respond when God speaks to you? I have to ask you, if not now, when? Why are you waiting to respond to God? Do you need to forgive somebody that has wronged you? Do you need to make right a relationship that is wrong? Do you need to ask God for forgiveness, confess and repent the very beginning moments of the gospel in our lives? Do you need to reach out in compassion? Do you need to come to the elders and ask for prayer, as it says in James 5, for healing? Do you need to confess sin one to another that you might be healed? That is what God is calling you to. If not now, why are you waiting? Zechariah is an example of a guy who wanted all the details and no faith right up front. Mary is an example of a 12, 13, maybe 14-year-old girl who responds with, how could it be a virgin pregnant? And Gabriel goes on to reveal to her great joy. And her response is, as the Lord has spoken. As He said it. If not now, my friends, when? She departs with haste. The trip from Mary to Elizabeth, letter B, would have taken around 3 to 5 days, depending on the conditions of the 80 to 100 mile track from the Galilee area, which is in the north. If you're familiar with the region of Israel, Galilee is way up in the north. And then down to the south is the Judean hill country, kind of outside or surrounding in the south the area of Jerusalem, which a lot of you are familiar with. 80 to 100 mile trek. My wife and I were talking about this. I said, you know, it doesn't say that she went with anybody. And it doesn't mention that anybody else was at the house. And Melinda was like, a 12 or 13-year-old girl going 80 to 100 miles? Are you crazy? She would have died. She would have died for sure. Hey, don't sell these little Jewish girls short, okay? They're a tough breed. A different world, obviously. We don't generally send our kids on 80 to 100 mile walkabouts in the culture that we live in. There's a very good chance that Mary went down by herself. She probably picked up traveling companions along the way. There was no train, there was no car, just everybody traveled on those main roads. And they would sleep together in groups, and that was the way that travel happened in the ancient world. She was traveling from a very small town, the town of Nazareth, not very many people there. And she was going to be coming down into a much more bustling area. There's a good chance that many people would be traveling the same road down to near Jerusalem. Mary's led, let her see, by the angelic message to seek Zechariah and Elizabeth. But the real reason for the union between these miracles is soon to be revealed. As soon as Elizabeth, it says, and Mary are in proximity to one another, as soon as she hears the voice, what happens to the baby? The baby literally leaps, jumps in her mother's womb. We've been pregnant a couple of times, obviously, and, well, my wife has. There's something awesome, isn't there, moms, about feeling that baby move. There's just something that is pure joy about that baby moving. And Melinda would call me over because she'd say for like 2 months, "Who? There, come here. And I would run over and bam, slap my hand on there. Nothing. I was totally moving until you came over. It's like parents, you remember that? You remember the joy in those moments? For those of you that don't have kids, don't rush it, but this is coming for you. Then when a mom gets bigger, you know, baby's growing inside of her womb, the baby will move and you can actually see it on the outside of the stomach. It's like, you know, you see its elbow come rolling. And that's when moms are like, oh my, you know. They're buckling over because that kid is busting to come out. This is one of those moments. This is one of those moments where the kid just absolutely leaps for joy. The implication, it does not say that John was filled with the Holy Spirit, but it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we assume that this leap for joy inside of the womb is the Spirit of God filling all of Elizabeth, John and Elizabeth together. And John just jumps for joy. He just leaps. If there is ever a passage in Scripture that speaks to the goodness of how God can fill with the Holy Spirit a baby inside of the womb and the wonder of life that begins at conception, that God is at work in the womb, that He's knitting it together, this passage really brings that out vividly. When the presence of Christ came into the presence of the other miracle baby, John the Baptist, there was celebration and there was joy. It's an affirmation of the Spirit filling the wombs of both women. It significantly marks a response of joy in Christ's presence, of Christ's impending birth. Of John was 6 months pregnant, probably closer to 6.5 months pregnant by this time. John's birth is coming. Elizabeth has gone public with it. She's definitely showing. And the baby is leaping for joy. There's proclamation in this. There's joy in this. There's spoken blessing in the midst of this. This is the first meeting of the miracle moms of Judea. It's the first outward announcement, by the way, a recognition of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes in to someone's life, when Jesus Christ steps into the scene, how do you respond? How do you respond when we're singing this morning? I was reading the results of the, I guess it was the climate survey that was done at the beginning of this year. I was reading the results of that. And one person was commenting, "I love our worship. I just don't understand why everybody just stands there with their hands down." No, I'm not barking at anybody for if you're dancing or if you're raising your hands or if you look like you're about to fall asleep. I'm asking about your heart. Somebody can be really, really boisterous and have a heart that is just dark. It's not about that. I ask you this morning, where's your heart in response to Jesus? When you walk into this place, where's your heart? Is it occupied with every other thing in the world other than Christ? See, what we do here is we practice together corporate or together worship so that when we walk out of here, we can continue to live in that kind of worship all week long. This shouldn't be this weird kind of like thing that you do once a week. This should be an encouragement of getting together with other believers and being encouraged in the Spirit of God so that we can live a life of worship all week long. You're not buried when you walk out of these doors. The Spirit of God goes with us. How do you respond to Jesus Christ in the midst of your life? Because this passage is a passage of immediate response. It is a passage of joyful proclamation and response. And it's a passage that says when Jesus is in somebody's life, when the presence of Christ comes upon, that the person can't keep their mouth shut about it. That they're going to proclaim that. These opportunities do not always happen in such a vivid way. But I got to tell you, I mean, I told you this story just a couple of weeks ago. I was over at a business and was standing there talking to a friend, and a girl walked in who had just come from a funeral. And she, the gal that was working behind the counter, introduced me and said, "Yeah, he's a pastor locally in Long Beach." And she immediately turned to me and says, "How do you do it? How do you go to these funerals?" It was for a young person. "How do you go to these funerals and give people hope? If you let people know that Jesus is in your life, they're going to ask. Maybe not right away. Maybe it'll be down the line. They're going to ask. How do you respond to Jesus in your life?" Let's not be CIA Christians. Let's not be FBI Christians. Undercover for Jesus. Secret ninja Christians. That's not what Scripture says. We abound with joy. We respond immediately, and we proclaim the name of Christ. Think of the significance of this moment. God's Holy Spirit is making the first announcement of Jesus Christ publicly in the land through an unborn child being carried by a barren woman married to a mute husband and giving it to a pregnant and unmarried virgin who carries a living blessing who Elizabeth recognizes as her Lord. If this is not one of the strangest passages in all of Scripture, I don't know what is. This truly registers on the Stranger Things kind of Richter scale. In the midst of this beyond human comprehension, high point of God's Stranger Things, Elizabeth pours Spirit-filled praise onto Mary. And this is exactly as God has designed it, isn't it? Mary needs a few months. She needs a few months with an older, wiser woman. She needs a few months to probably frame this whole thing. She needs a few months to understand what God is doing. She needs a few months to be reminded by Elizabeth of how good God is. She needs a few months with a pregnant mom to see what it's going to be like. The Holy Spirit of God is not leaving Mary alone. Compassionately, He sends her to Elizabeth, and He provides for Mary and Jesus through Elizabeth, who is carrying John the Baptist. Elizabeth does what older women are so gifted at doing, pouring out Spirit-filled praise onto Mary. I have a sweet and tender place in my heart for my grandmothers. My grandmothers have both passed away, but I remember them for the kind and gentle words that they shared with me. It's something that grandmothers, I think, are gifted in. Grandpa, a little crusty. Grandma, fantastic. Going to hang out with her. She's the one that baked and had all the sweets. I was all over that stuff. Ladies, when you look at a younger woman who looks different, acts different, is different than you, is your thought, what is the Spirit giving me to pour out onto her? Or is it, man, her shirt's low cut. I wish you wouldn't wear such low-slung jeans. Oh my gosh, her underwear's hanging out. We fill our hearts with the things of this world. And Elizabeth filled her heart with the Spirit of God. Do likewise. She has blessings for the tender faith and belief of Mary. And it begs us to likewise have faith in God's plans, in God's ways, and in God's purposes. The Spirit of God pours out praise. The Spirit of God pours out worship. The Spirit of God pours out joy and celebration on a young mother of miracle who is distinguished for her faithful belief and her faithful actions in quite literally carrying the very fulfillment that goes back to Genesis chapter 3 in your Bibles. I mean, this is a promise that has been a long time coming. But God, in His ways and His plans and His purposes, is good on His Word. How will you respond even this morning? I ask you that because following our time of response in worship, we're going to allow you to come forward if you'd like, or we'll come to you if you just want to sit there. But I just want you to know that this place is always open for you to do business with God. It says in James chapter 5 that it's good for us to pray together, to confess sin to one another, to seek healing from the elders of the church. Do you need healing of your body or your soul? Do you need prayer for anything that is going on in your life? Is there anything that God is pressing on you? I want to encourage you to respond. Do not wait. Do not hold back. Do not sit there and go, oh, well, you know, it's a little freaky. Freaky is a virgin being pregnant in ancient Judah and going and seeing her 80-year-old relative who's also 6 months pregnant and having the Spirit of God fall on him and proclaim a blessing. That's freaky. This is safe. We love you. And we want to see God at work in the midst of all of our lives. Not just a few. Let's pray. God, we bring you this time, we bring you this place, and we pray that you would, that you, God, would move in the hearts of men and women to follow you. We sacrifice once again our self-will, our own ways, our desire to look good at the expense of our relationship with you. We give it all away. And God, as it says in Colossians, we worship you and you alone. You are the only audience that matters. So we come to you, God, and pray that you would move in our hearts, even through this song of response. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Right now, could you make sure that you open up your Bibles to the book of Luke? We're going to be in the book of Luke, and please open them up to chapter 1, right around verse 46. That is where we are going to be looking at Stranger Things. Pull out your outlines as well. You're going to want to have that on one side of you. You're going to want to have your Bible there in your lap. You remember last week what we were talking about? The strangest thing. An angel who has already appeared to Zechariah appears to Mary and tells her that she is going to be carrying Jesus. That she's going to be carrying the baby. She is a virgin and she is confused, and rightfully so. I mean, who wouldn't be in that situation? She's totally confused by the whole thing. And she inquires of the angel, how can this be? I've never been with a man. And the angel tells her, the Holy Spirit can do anything. All things are possible, right? You remember that? All things are possible with God. And then he tells her something that very few people knew, and she certainly didn't know, that her relative, Elizabeth, was already 6 months pregnant. Elizabeth lived in the Judean hill country south of where Mary lived in Nazareth. And that's where we pick up the story. Follow along on the screen or in your Bibles. I am right at verse 39. Come back here. Golly. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Zechariah is mute, remember? So he didn't do much greeting. Greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The extraordinary, number one, letter A on your outline, the extraordinary angelic announcement from Gabriel to Mary that she was to be a mother was a strange thing, was it not? It was strange and it brought excitement, but it also brought confusion. Of course, the confusion is pretty easy to understand, right? She's a virgin. She's confused. Just exactly how does this happen? That's a strangely scandalous impossibility, not to mention a good reason to get yourself killed in that culture. In our culture, we have a great acceptance of anybody who gets pregnant before they get married, after they get married. In our culture, it's almost become okay. God, though, has a way, and God has a plan that He's laid out in the Scriptures, and that plan is that a husband and a wife would come together after they are married and recognized by God in marriage, and that they would then be fruitful and multiply. And when we follow God's plans, God blesses in ways that are unique, in ways that are beyond anything that we could satisfy ourselves. Our culture seems bent from that into saying that all things are acceptable. All things are okay. I want to hold up the goodness of what God created there. And I want to hold up His pattern and say, hey, follow what God has laid out for you. Follow His plan. You will be blown away at how much He will bless you in the midst of His plan. But then, as we look at the way God has designed things, look at what He does here. I mean, this is a strange thing because it's completely different than the way God has spelled it out to His people. And so Mary's in this scandalous position. She's a pregnant, engaged virgin. Those things don't go together. And they especially don't go together in the ancient world. The excitement that Mary was having was also easy to understand. Mary is a single, by the way, mother. She's a single mother, and she is going to be having a baby boy. And as a pregnant mom, probably 12 to 14 years old. I know Matt mentioned that last week. Wrap your head around that for a second. 12 to 14 years old, pregnant in the ancient world, and at the very end of this amazing prophecy that Gabriel gives to her, what does he say? Oh, by the way, your 80-year-old relative, the barren one, Elizabeth, she's pregnant too, 6 months. And boom, off goes Gabriel. Well, Mary knows that the angel did not tell her that for absolutely no reason. So Mary, what does the verse say? She goes with haste to her relative Elizabeth. Now I'll admit, it's a creepy picture. I get it. Her relative Elizabeth, formerly barren, now pregnant, another miracle. What does it say? That God is not going to leave Mary alone. God's not abandoning Mary. God's not just giving her Jesus and saying, hey, peace out. He sends her to Elizabeth, and Mary understands this. He sends her to Elizabeth. For Mary, it's the greatest of news. I am not alone. Someone else is experiencing a totally miraculous pregnancy. And what does she think? I got to go there now. I got to go and respond to what the angel said now, because why? It's the Judean first-time mom's club, and it's creepy looking, I got to admit. But those are the moms, right? A 12, 13-year-old girl and a woman that is old enough to be past menopause. Barren. Barren, not going to have any more kids. Elizabeth's pregnancy is cause for Mary to become more excited, letter D. Mary has support, even in the scandal of her pregnancy. Another miracle is at work. Another new mother is not too far away. God is doing another strange thing, but why is He doing it? Mary's response, I think, can be instructive to us. I believe that God continues to speak to us even today. He speaks to us in His Word. He speaks to us in the worship that we have together corporately when we come on a Sunday. God speaks to us through our friends, through one another. God speaks to us through our husbands and through our wives. God is continually speaking to us even as we understand the Word of God through the Holy Spirit on a continual basis. God is constantly speaking. The more you get to know about God from Scripture, the more you spend time with Jesus Christ, the more you engage the Word of God, it pours into you and it gives voice to the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to you, the Bible says, in any situation. You can be standing in front of kings, you can be standing in front of your parents, and God will give you the words to say that will truly and wholly express the gospel, the great news about Jesus Christ. God is with His people. And when God expressed something to Mary, what did she do? Do you think she went back to her room and journaled? Wrote down, you know, I wonder if I just had some bad figs. I wonder if I just had a hallucination. I wonder what was really going on there. I wonder. I think this is us. Should I follow what God's telling me to do now? Or should I just wait? There's plenty of time. I'll live like I want now, and I'll change later. I don't need to be in a rush. God, I love You. I'm going to respond to You. But right now, I'm doing my own thing. I want you to experience the fullness of what Mary did here. And ask yourself the question, how you respond when God speaks to you. I believe that God is probably, because He does this in my life, He's probably been speaking to every single one of us about things. Things that need to change. Things that He wants us to respond to. And this is our mentality. We sit there and debate it. We sit there and kind of wonder, maybe I'll give in, but I'm going to wait a little while just to let God know who's in charge. It's like when your parents asked you to do something and you just sat there on the couch for an extra minute just to show them that you were making the decision to go do what they were asking. Right? We are a stubborn and rebellious people, but what we see in Mary is an urgency to follow God. An urgency to follow His will. An urgency that is in obedience, knowing that Gabriel was revealing a connection between Mary and Elizabeth's pregnancy that she did not know then, but she would soon learn. The trip from Mary to Elizabeth would have taken around 3 to 5 days. She is not mentioned to be going with a companion. There's no one else that comes into the house with her. No one else that is there. This is a 12 to 14 year old girl who travels from Galilee in the north to down to the Judean hill country in the south near Jerusalem, probably by herself. Now in that day, everybody traveled that way. You know, there's no trains, planes, automobiles, all those things. And so as she's traveling down, there were other companions, people traveled together often. They would sleep in groups. It was safe to do so. It was not like hitchhiking modernly. It was not even like walking modernly. But my daughters are 17 and 14. I'm not sending them on any 80 to 100 mile anythings. Not in a car, not on a bike, and not on foot for sure. Why? Because we don't live in that culture. But in this culture, Mary heads out. She takes this track. Why? Because Gabriel has given her the word of the Lord. If not now, when? Is she going to wait it out? Is she going to see if she really is pregnant? Is she going to wait for a baby bump? Let's see if it's really true. No. It says she goes with haste. How do you respond? What will you do? The very beginning of the gospel is repentance and confession. Is that what you need this morning? Do you need to go to someone that you have wronged and give a true, heartfelt, from the bottom of your soul apology with no strings attached? Do you, as a wife, need to apologize to a husband? A husband apologize to a wife? Do you need to repair a friendship? You may not be able to get rid of all the crap today, but you can start. You may come to God and repent and be as sincere as you can be and still struggle with that sin when you walk out the door. You may not be able to solve all the problems. God is not some sort of a microwave that you pop in a bit of food, heat it up, and be like, oh, it's ready to eat. God works within the context of our lives to give the maximum amount of glory to Himself and to His plans. And what you see here is a young lady that does not know what the end will be, but she trusts God in this moment, and she is faithful, and she immediately goes to visit Elizabeth. When she gets there, led by this angelic message, she soon finds out the real reason for the union. As soon as Elizabeth and Mary are in proximity, as soon as Elizabeth hears her voice, the Holy Spirit of God fills Elizabeth's spirit and causes the baby to leap for sheer joy. I'm blessed to be a parent to two girls. And when my wife was pregnant with Jesselyn and Michaela, there's this period of time where the mother can feel the baby moving. It does calisthenics occasionally, especially with Mexican food. And when, you know, it's going on and the baby's like kicking her and she's, you know, my wife would be puttering around the house doing one thing or another, and she'd be like, oh, the baby's kicking. And I would literally, wherever I was, jump up and bam, lay my hand right on her tummy. No, I can't feel anything. It was just there. It was yet, I don't know, maybe it's you, man. The baby just holds still when you get around it. And I'd walk away. Baby's up, bam! Nothing. And you know, dads have a hard time, especially first-time dads. It's like, oh, wow, look at this, all this stuff going on with my wife. It's hard to connect with. Like, the baby's not really, like, part of me. I just, you know, did that, and boom, wow. And we want to connect with everything. And so the first time that you get to feel that baby on the belly of your wife, man, it's such a cause for joy. For an 80-year-old or so woman having a baby, we'll call her 60. Let's be gracious. For a barren woman having a baby, to feel the leap of a baby inside of her, I mean to tell you, what an amazing experience. It's one that every parent, if you're not a parent yet, I mean, don't rush it. Trust me, don't rush it. But wow,
it is going to be such a wonder for you. It is such a good thing. It's something that parents get to share. Eventually, the kid is so big that when they move, they'll like stick their elbow, and you can actually see it from across the room. Like, she'll go, look at this. And it's a big elbow going by her. Their face is rubbing across. And it's like, oh, wow, it looks like Exorcist or something. Okay, letter D. I mean, my children are not the Exorcist, not usually. We better use the first sermon podcast, by the way. Or first service. Anyway, John the Baptist, letter D. John the Baptist's fetal response of pure joy in the presence of Christ is a wonderful moment. It is wonderful. It is an affirmation of the Spirit filling life in the womb of both women. And I don't want you to miss this. That from the point of conception, Jesus Christ, who is very early in pregnancy, and then John the Baptist, who is later in pregnancy, God is at work in the wombs of these women, bringing great joy, bringing the filling of the Holy Spirit, bringing an experience of what it was like to proclaim the name of Christ. We live in a culture that does not value innocent life. The end of Psalm 94 is vivid about how God feels about the innocent. But in these verses, what an affirmation of the Spirit filling the spirits of those men. It significantly marks a response of joy in Christ's presence, of Christ's impending birth. There they are, the first time Miracle Moms Club of Judea. This is the first outward announcement or recognition of the Messiah. Number three, letter A. It's the first outward recognition. It's the first proclamation of the Messiah in the Bible. Are you catching that? Are you catching who Jesus Christ is being proclaimed by and what God is doing here? Think about it. Think of the significance here. God's Holy Spirit is making this first announcement through an unborn child being carried by a barren woman married to a mute husband to a pregnant and unmarried virgin who carries a living blessing who Elizabeth recognizes as her Lord. Unbelievable. Sometimes we read this story and what do we think? I've heard this before. No big deal. We read a little bit about this around Christmas time. It's so familiar to us that it dulls our sensitivities. I would challenge you that this is the highest moment of strange things that we can experience. That this passage right here is one of the single strangest things that God does in the entire Bible. And that using these two unborn children to proclaim for the very first time, outwardly, publicly, without the angel involved, that this is the Christ, that this is the Lord, is a statement of how God cares for those that are weak, that are barren, that are empty, that are broken, that have nothing, that are involved in scandal, that are lonely, that are empty. Please do not miss the love of God in the midst of such a familiar story. He loves you. And He did crazy things so that you would see His love clearly. Sometimes we read this and it falls into the category of Snow White, dwarves, and Cinderella. This truly happened. God is at work. In the midst of this truly beyond human comprehension high point of God's stranger things, Elizabeth pours out Spirit-filled praise. It says the Holy Spirit of God fills her and she speaks out praise. Here is a scared young girl who's been told by an angel that she is pregnant. She has walked 80 to 100 miles to the Judean hill country from the north down to the south. And she is meeting with a relative that is 6 months pregnant, that was formerly barren. She walks in the door and she does what older women do. I value my grandmothers for the kind words that they said to me. My grandmothers have both passed away now. But I remember them. I remember them for the kind and nice things they said. There's something about Grandma, right? Grandpa, he can be a crusty old guy. But Grandma's who you went to for understanding. My kids go to Grandma's and they get hugs and cookies and treats and all kinds of crazy stuff. Stuff that drives us nuts as parents. Why? Because Grandma's are either getting us back for all the stuff we did to them when they were young, or they just got so much love in their heart they know what's important. What I see here is the way that God is taking care of Mary. He knows what scandal she's in. He knows what He's doing. He knows what His plan is. And rather than just leave her alone up in Nazareth, a very, very small town, a town that's even hard for us to comprehend. It's so tiny. Up in the north, He doesn't leave her alone. He gets her down with Elizabeth, this older, wiser, esteemed, righteous woman. And He puts them together for just a few months so that Mary can experience what pregnancy is like. She can see what she's headed towards. She can experience it and help out her older relative. And in the process, she is being cared for by God. Don't be bitter. Don't be resentful about the way God chooses to take care of you. He takes us in the weakest of circumstances and He gives us all that we need, the Bible says. And in so doing, He blesses. Older women, when you look at the younger women of this church, do you bless them? Is the thing that comes into your mind, Holy Spirit, fill me that I could bless them? Or is it, man, her shirt's low cut. What? Oh my gosh, she bent over, I just saw her underwear. Holy mackerel, what are we going to do? I got to talk to the pastor. We don't want people having their underwear showing. What do you think of? I'm asking you to use the words of your mouth to bless other people. Do you just see other people's problems? Do you just see their sin? Do you just see the things that are wrong with people? Have you used it against them? Even inside of your heart. Can I call you to be a blessing in the lives of other people, that you would discover their faith, that you would find their belief the way that Elizabeth responded in the Spirit to this young life that was probably very, very incomplete at such a young age. And she pours blessing out on top of her. A young mother of miracle is blessed by an older mother of miracle. She is distinguished for her faithful belief and her faithful action. And don't miss that the two go together. It's not enough to just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've got to do something with that belief. And Mary is an example at a very tender age of a child that takes the faith that she has in Jesus Christ and she responds with haste to what God reveals. And she goes straight to this bizarre... I mean, those 80 to 100 miles to Elizabeth's house had to have just been nuts. She must have been thinking everything under the moon, like, I'm going to get there and this lady's going to think I'm crazy. She's not going to be pregnant. But before she can even see her, Elizabeth is pouring out blessing. The babies are on the move. The Spirit of God is at work. This young mother is blessed. She has believed and she has acted. And she carries the fulfillment of a promise in your Bible that you will originally find in Genesis chapter 3. That's 1,000 pages earlier. Genesis chapter 3. Seriously? God has placed Himself into a 13-year-old? That was the promise? These are truly strange, strange things. I believe that this story begs us to have faith. To have faith in God's plans. To have faith in God's ways. To have faith in God's purposes. The beginning of the gospel is confession and repentance. Repentance and confession. It's the beginning of the gospel. It's always the beginning of the gospel. Even after you follow Jesus Christ, you need to spend every day remembering that. Where does this all start for me? It starts with confession and repentance. We need to be people that embrace confession and repentance. It says in the Bible that if you're sick, you should come to the elders and ask for prayer. And in so doing, you should confess your sins one to another that you could be healed. I want to open up this area at the end of the service this morning and invite you, if you need to confess and repent, the elders will be available. We would love to pray with you. If you need to do that with a husband or a wife, you should do that this morning. If you need to do that with your friends, you should do that this morning. This is a place of ministry where we take seriously the Word of God and we ask the Holy Spirit, do it again. You give us the example. We see what Zechariah did. He saw the example, ignored it, mute. I don't want God to be mute in my life. I want to have the voice of Mary. I want to have the voice of the Spirit of God in my life. I want to be the one that responds. I want to trust in God's plans, even though, I mean, you do get this, right? God spoke the promise originally to a woman named Eve, and He fulfilled it in a woman named Mary. Eve thought it was going to be fulfilled in her lifetime. Thousands of years later, God fulfills a part of His plan in Mary. How many of you want God to work and you'd like Him to do it yesterday? How many of you have prayed, God, fix this problem and do it right now? God, could you take care of this like in the next year? I'll be generous, God. Could you do it, you know, relatively quickly, but right now? How many of us think that God and all that He's doing in our lives is supposed to happen in our lifetimes? How many of us have said, I think God's coming back in our lifetime? Hey! Get the focus off of you. God is doing things that we cannot imagine over epochs of time that we cannot even begin to wrap our heads around. Will you be faithful to Him today? Will you respond in faith today? Will you trust His plans, His ways, His purposes? Let's pray. God, we come to You and we want to respond to You and we want to follow You. And God, we want to step into the messy, difficult, hard places of our lives. Even if You don't completely heal us right in this moment, God, we still trust You for healing. Even if You don't solve all of our problems yesterday, God, we still trust You with our problems. We come to You and we say that Your plans are better than ours, that Your ways are superior to anything we could come up with, that God, Your purposes extend so dramatically. They are so much deeper. They extend so much, so deep into the whole generation after generation of man, that God, it is so unbelievable that we just ask that You'd work it out in our lives, that we would be faithful, that we, the story of our lives that is being written, God, I pray that You would find a faithful man there. I pray that You'd find a faithful church. And God, I know that begins with us today. I pray that we would respond. God, that we would respond in song, that we would also respond with opening our lives to healing, to repentance, to confession, to mending those things that are broken, to seeking out those that we have wronged, to making straight paths that are crooked, to taking away the mountains that exist between us and making these paths straight, that the gospel of Christ would be championed. We pray for it now, God. We pray for it earnestly. And we pray for it in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ.